working on a feature film. He's a very prolific filmmaker, and he's just a good guy. So he'll be along shortly. And I want to encourage you guys, if you have not checked out the Civic Media news roundup every day, you should. It's really fun. You get news, you get sports, you get weather. I do a Hollywood Minute segment that airs. You get like 3 minutes of Hollywood stuff. Some of it is funny. You get informed news, great sports, and weather, all in about 8 or 9 minutes. And that is at the top of every webpage at civicmedia.us. You can also get it on the app. It just says News Roundup. It's right at the top. You can stay informed and just click away and take it with you wherever you go if you have the app. Tomorrow night on the program will be, I'm so discombobulated today, Jeff Kurz, filmmaker Jeff Kurz will be here. He is also one of the filmmakers leading the charge for incentives here in Wisconsin for filmmakers. They're hoping to bring those back. We had them briefly, I guess, in the early 2000s, and Jeff is helping lead a charge to bring them back to Wisconsin. Also, Ben Reiser will be here in the 8 o'clock hour to talk about the Wisconsin Film Festival, which kicks off Thursday, this Thursday, 2 days from now. Conrad, are we going?
Well, I think we have to.
We got to go. We'll get some Rudy Tooty fresh and fruity potato chips, some hot dog water from 7-Eleven, and we'll...
That sounds like a great day.
We'll hit the WFF. All right, so we got to figure out what is going on with this weather, and there's nobody better to help us do that than Civic Media's own meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. I want to ask Brittany why my feet are soaking wet tonight. How you doing, Brittany?
Good evening, Pete. I'm doing pretty good.
Are you happy? Are you getting this weather we're getting in Northeast Wisconsin and Wausau?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're going to get hit harder, but it's been snowing all day, that beautiful white stuff.
The snow queen is happy, huh?
Of course I am. I told you we'd get this. I told you there'd be more.
You know what? I made the mistake of thinking that those two rains we got last week were the storms, and they just kind of petered out, but you weren't talking about that. You knew we were getting the major one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did. Yep. Now, I didn't know that this one was going to hang out here for so long, though. I saw how strong it was, how much punch it could have packed. But 50 mile per hour winds? I mean, do you have power right now there, Pete?
We do. Well, we do here at the station. But where I live, Brittany, honestly, our power goes out so easily. I've not talked to anyone at home, so I don't know what's going on there. But we live with a lot of tall pine trees, and it's crazy how easily we lose power. But so far, so good here.
Okay, well, that's good, but I think home, you're probably powerless out there. I know a lot of the Fox Valley, Green Bay, Oshkosh studios are without power at this moment.
Wow.
And the winds have not even hit peak yet. It's going to get worse.
When is that going to happen? When will the winds get worse?
They are going to be really maximized between 1 a.m. and 10 p.m. tomorrow. But I think the strongest will be overnight and into those early morning hours, where gusts will be at 40 to 50 miles per hour. And it's still going to be snowing. Yes, it's going to start to taper off tomorrow morning and through the afternoon. But with those strong winds, visibility is going to be down. Roads are going to be recovered. And I'm pushing for school cancellations. How about that? Snow day, kiddos.
You will be the most popular meteorologist in the state with the kids, for sure.
That's my goal. Not the parents, though. The parents are shaking their fists at me like, Brittany Merlot.
So will the roads be safe? Do you have any idea? I know that's not your cup of tea necessarily, but are we looking at bad roads for 2 days now? But when am I going to get home, I guess is what I'm asking. I'm holed up in a hotel here. There was no Ubers because of Trump. I had to walk here tonight. My feet are wet. I'm a mess. And you're happy, and I'm not comfortable with this.
I'm sorry. Okay. I will tone my mode down. No, you guys are getting hit the hardest. It's all right. I understand. Crabbiness can prevail because the snow is going to continue to be heavy overnight through tomorrow morning. By the afternoon, it'll start to taper off, but the winds are still going to be blowing and redrifting it. So I would say by Saturday night, tomorrow night.
Oh, my God. You scared me.
I'm coming off of sick. I was sick all weekend, so my brain is a little.
I'm glad that was not accurate.
Bear with me, guys. I'm under the weather.
So are any other parts of the state getting hit really hard too, or is it mostly just us and a little bit west, like over by you?
It's actually going to be the hardest hit where you could see over a foot of snowfall by tomorrow morning from Green Bay through the Fox Valley and down in towards Madison area. So a line right from there. So far, La Crosse is coming in with 8 inches of snowfall so far. Oshkosh reported 4 inches at 6 o'clock this evening, but it's still hitting hard.
Jeez, that's crazy. So after this, Brittany, are we looking at, it was anyway supposed to warm up pretty quickly, like even 60s and 70s I saw down in Madison. Is that still, are we still on pace for that, or will the snow stick around for a while?
I wouldn't say 60s or 70s. Those temperatures are going to be trending down a little bit. I mean, you got to think about the fact that the snow is going to be on the ground. So therefore, the forecasted model runs, this is why we don't trust weather apps and why you have to listen to me. Because they're not picking up the fact that the snow's on the ground. It's going to keep us cooler. So 60s, 70s, no. But chance. 50s by the weekend and sunshine, that'll take care of some of the snow.
I can live with that. Do you have a favorite snow movie or sort of a weather movie?
Oh, gosh. What is that one? It's like old school, with like the Abominable Snowman and the reindeer. It was like a clay figure movie.
Oh, like a Christmas frost? No.
I think Yeti, like a Yeti.
Yeah, it was like
there.
A claymation thing.
Yeah. I don't know what that one's called, but that one.
Yeah. And then he was friendly at the end of it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Might have been called the Abominable Snowman. I don't know.
Or like, was it the Island of the Misfits too? Is that the same movie? Or am I getting all my little kids?
I don't think those are the same, but it's definitely the same vibe.
Okay.
Are you watching anything? Have you finally caved and started watching some TV this winter? Or are you still just obsessed with weather?
Do you think Mother Nature has given me any time?
I guess not. Yeah.
She's not allowed me to. Hopefully summer will calm down.
Yeah, I hope so. Are you getting out and enjoying the snow? I know you love your snow.
I have been watching it from the window all day today, but I'm hoping by tomorrow morning I can sneak out there.
What are you going to do? Snowshoe or snowmobile or what?
I'm probably going to try to snowshoe or maybe put on some cross-country skis and use this trail, the snowmobile trail that never opened this year.
Yeah,
see what
no
I can do
kidding.
On there.
You know, Conrad builds a mean snowman. I'm not saying you should invite him over, but I'm just, you know, keep it in the back of your mind.
I think Conrad and I, we should have a snowman building contest and send each other pictures and everybody can vote and see which one.
There we go.
Dude,
it is. Want to do it, Conrad?
I'm in. I'll be the judge. I want to see this.
Yes. Okay, I'm doing this.
All right.
Don't let me down.
I don't think we'd mess with you. I think you probably build the best snowman just because you're so into the snow and everything. So
you never know.
You never know. Hey, thank you very much for jumping on tonight and helping us through this or at least keeping us informed. It was great. Thank you so much.
Yes. You guys be safe out there.
We will. Thank you, my friend.
Bye, Pete.
Bye. That's Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. And I, you know, it's weird. I should feel better after we talked to Brittany, but I don't know that I do. I mean, this is depressing. Like,
yeah. What? 71 next week.
Yeah, that's what you say, but she kind of poo-pooed that, you know?
Well, on the weather app, it still says it, so I'm...
All right. Well, she just said we can't believe weather apps. Jeez.
I just want to believe it, Pete.
All right. You know what I want to do? I want to crawl into a big bag of Rudy Tooty fresh and fruity potato chips.
In the hot tub.
In the hot tub with all the people talking about babies going to the moon. So this is what I'm into now, and this is... It's one of those shows I'm so into that I almost can't wait to get off the air so I can go back to my room and just watch Shogun. I love it because Mike Crute and I were talking about this the other day when I was on The Devil's Advocate, and you can't look away. When you're watching something with subtitles, you cannot like play video poker at the same time. You have to watch because you're lost. So that's something I'm watching. If you're watching Shogun, let me know because I'm digging it. It's on FX. And I think we're getting the reruns. I think I'm watching it on Hulu. But it's really good. I also watched the show Three Body Problem, which is based on books. It's a sci-fi show about, it's kind of nonlinear. They start in the 60s, and a scientist in the 60s is being told by aliens not to respond to their messages. Because if they respond to the alien messages, the Earthlings, the aliens will come and destroy them. So the scientists in the 60s found like the one nice alien who's saying, don't respond. But the scientist could not get over her curiosity. So she responded. So they flash forward to the future, and now the aliens are getting closer. And it's pretty cool. It starts a little slow, but I'm kind of digging it. If you're watching Three Body Problem, let me know. And I'll tell you who else has got problems, Conrad. You listening?
Yes.
P. Diddy. Have you been reading about this?
Yes, I have seen news about it. Never really was a fan of the guy anyways, but...
Yeah, me either, but I mean... This is like, here's the problem, is when everybody who's ever talked to the guy now is being suspected of being like a pedophile.
Wow. And,
you know, I that can't be, but the guy has a stench on him now.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't worry, Conrad, I'm not going to show anybody the picture of you with him. It's fine.
Please don't.
No, it's in the vault, buddy. It's not going anywhere.
Thank you.
That's just horrible. I don't know how you can, I don't know. So here's another clip from me. I said earlier on the show, I went over, I talked to some Trump supporters. They were over here at the, it's a big convention center here in downtown Green Bay. And I kind of asked them what they were watching. I was trying to build a bridge, like, and a couple of them said Seinfeld. I said, okay, I watch Seinfeld too. Because I do really truly feel like entertainment and show business and movies and TV can unify us, like sports. It was all very, you know, civil. The conversations were civil. I didn't get too much into politics or anything. It's not really what I do. Certainly not here in the air. I talk more about show business. But I did talk, I tried to get a little side hustle going. Go ahead, Conrad, play that.
With you. Are you, do you guys have passes? Or are you scalping tickets? Or?
No, we got passes.
Okay, you can't scalp tickets here anyway, can you?
I don't think so.
What if I told you I had a couple of tickets, so I'd sell them to you? Would you buy them?
Well, I already got some. So
what?
And I will say, I'm encouraged. Those guys, big-time Seinfeld fans. So, I don't know. Maybe there's common ground there. After all, what do you think, Conrad?
I think there's some common ground there, for sure.
Yeah. You were in this nice warm studio, though, while I was out there freezing my butt off.
Yeah, I was just building a fire in here, you know.
Get the bonfire.
Being cozy.
Going. I know. So we're going to hear a little more Brian Regan coming up next. And then Nathan Demming is here to talk about his film February, which premieres at the Wisconsin Film Festival. I will be down there this weekend. If you're in the Madison area, I'll be introducing films, hosting Q&As. It's such a great time. Stop by and say hello at the Wisconsin Film Festival. Always a great time. And Nathan Demming will be with us shortly. This is Pete Schwalbe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Not another vision of love. You feel joy, you feel pain, because nothing will be the same. Just another night is all that it takes. Welcome back. It is Marvin Gaye's birthday today, ladies and gentlemen. He died at the age of 44 in 1984. And Conrad, we got to hear some Marvin Gaye at some point tonight.
Yeah.
Just died so tragically too, in a domestic dispute with his own father. Just terrible. And all right, guess we got a phone call.
Yeah, we got a special guest, Mike Clemens.
Mike Clemens?
Yes.
He owes me money. Put him through. Hey, Mike.
Nobody better than Marvelous Marvin Gaye. I could listen to that all night long. Hey, you were talking to Brittany and asking about favorite snowstorm movies.
Yeah.
And no, you guys were, it's one of those stop animation ones.
Yes.
It's from the same people, Rankin and Bass, who put out Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in 64. I kind of knew some of this, but I just looked it up. And then in 70, Christmas of 70 on ABC, they put out Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And the narrator was like a post office guy. That was Fred Astaire.
Yes.
And the voice of Kris Kringle was Mickey Rooney. And oh, no, she's right with her memory that, you know, this Santa Claus character, a young, you know, Kris Kringle is out on a journey. And he... gets chased by the abominable snowman, you know, great big snowman.
Yeah.
And then later, they get to this place and there's like an iceberg with a sort of an island of misfit toys. And there's a sad song there. So it's kind of a musical, but no, she was right. That's like constantly in the snow and in the area of the North Pole and all that. But yeah, that's a memorable.
That was Santa Claus is coming to town, right?
That's what it's called.
He had to get it past that. For some reason, like, I know that film really well. I wasn't equating the two, but you're right. That was like the biggest challenge. That was very scary too. When you were a kid, right?
Sure. the way the abominable snowman's, you know, mouth mumbled, I figured he's going to be eating Santa Claus. So whatever.
That's right.
Hey, it's not a holiday unless you can scare the kids some way.
Exactly. We want to petrify
them. So how much snow are you getting in Green Bay? Cause I just left American Family Field where it was horrible. I mean, it was like a monsoon driving in.
Really?
Tailgating time, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. Like, just like she said, too, 50, you know, her forecast, she nails it every time. Like,
yeah.
50-mile-an-hour winds and nonstop heavy rains. And, you know, it was nasty. It was really nasty. I think a lot of people just said, okay, we're not going to tailgate today.
I assume the roof was closed.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
They had 41,000, so they had just enough to call it a sellout, but there were plenty of empty seats, at least to start the game. But the Brewers played great. Man, they jumped out. They had like 6 or 7 hits, managed to get 2 runs. Bryce Terang, you know, RBI double, and then Yelich crushes another home run. I think he's had 2 in the last 3 days. So the Brewers hang on and win. 3-2, man. They're 4-0, and it's a hot young team. Oh, here's the other thing. I think they stole like 6 bases. I mean,
really?
Pat Murphy, the new manager, is giving them the green light. So they're working the bases and moving guys around. And so their next game is short turnaround tomorrow against these Twins. And then they got another series coming up after that.
I'm telling you, when I was a kid, Mike, my favorite team to watch was the St. Louis Cardinals because they stole bases like crazy. It just takes the game to another level. It's so much fun. So that's so cool the Brewers are doing that.
Well, way back in the 60s, it was like Lou Brock, too, who was like a master doing that.
He was my favorite player when I was a kid. Yeah, he was great. Yeah. Fun to
great
watch.
Great guy, too. I mean, there's an interview of him with Carson now. It's on YouTube. And he comes walking in because he had like a record stolen base, and he comes holding the actual bag that he stole, which was pretty funny. But he seemed like just a really classy guy.
I agree. And I always, when Ricky Henderson broke his record, I was so bummed because Ricky Henderson's a phenomenal player. I just never liked every interview he would say the wrong thing. And I'm like, I just don't like this guy. And Lou Brock was like the consummate pro and it was great.
Yeah, no, I remember that too. That, you know, Ricky was a little cocky, a little shorter guy too.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And he said, Lou Brock's a good player. I'm a great player. It's like, you don't have to say that, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
Whatever. Well, thanks, Mike. I appreciate the update. And thank you for setting the record straight. More importantly, on the holiday films, because we had to break that news.
Love the show, buddy.
All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Mike. That's Civic Media's own Mike Clemens. Mike Clemens is not just a sports guru. He has fact-checked several things over the last few months. He's great whenever he calls in. This is like, we had Don Rosen calling in last night. That was exciting. Mike Clemens tonight. Who will call Nightlight tomorrow night from Civic Media? That's what I want to know. So we talked about Marvin Gaye. It's also Wet Hot American Summer came out today.
Yes.
You have a good clip from that movie.
It didn't come out
today. It's Chris Maloney's birthday today.
Yes.
He was in that. He's been on all the Law and Orders. He was in Oz. He's a really good actor. He's kind of weird in this new organized crime. He looks a little steroidy for me, but a really good actor and really funny, which surprised me in Wet Hot American Summer. Right?
Yeah. I mean, that was the first time I ever saw him.
Oh, really?
And I can't remember when I saw that movie, but I was young. And I thought he was the creepiest dude I've ever seen.
Let's play that clip.
What? What?
You're listening to me, Mr. Kick, Mr. Rubber Burner. You wipe that hot shot grin off your face or I'll shoot it off you. You got that? I finish up them taters. I'm going to go fondle my sweaters.
Come on, what?
Finish up the taters.
And then what did you say?
And then what did I say?
You said you were going to go fondle your sweaters.
No, I didn't. I said I'm going to fondue with cheddar. I was thinking about making fondue with cheddar cheese for dinner tonight.
Now, Gene, that is not what you said.
It is what I said. Fondue, cheddar.
Okay, fine. Okay, see you later.
See ya.
It's so weird.
It's so funny. And it's in the movie, he just talks to a can of corn the whole time.
I remember that. Wow. I only saw it once, but it was very memorable. From the 920, Jim checks in. As I understand it, our text line is on the fritz, folks, if you're preparing to text. We did get Jim's, though. The only Blizzard movie that I can think of is The Shining. Oh, my gosh. That is a great one, Jim. I wouldn't even call it a Blizzard movie, but the scenes where it's snowing and they're stuck in the maze, outstanding. Yeah, totally with you. That's a great one.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, man. It's it'll...
I heard it's creepy.
It is. It'll stay with you for a while. There's a scene where Jack Nicholson is in the restroom and there's a ball of ghosts happening in the next room, and the restroom attendant, he has the creepiest conversation as the music kind of plays in the background. It's one of those movies I don't want to watch again. I've seen it probably 3 times. It just stays with me too long. It's that good and that creepy. I highly recommend it. But if you show up tomorrow with an axe, Conrad, I will take you down. So if you did get your text in, thank you, folks. Nathan Demming is coming up next. He's the filmmaker behind February. His film premieres at the Wisconsin Film Festival, which opens this Thursday, the 4th. Nathan Demming coming up next. Marvin Gaye takes us to the break. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love. And pick it sides. Don't punish me.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night. Right around the corner, starting Thursday, April 4th, this Thursday, is the Wisconsin Film Festival. It runs through April 11th, and it is just a really outstanding film festival. They have great choices in movies, restored classics, great in-person visitors. Alexander Payne will be there this year. And my next guest has been there with his films in the past, and his stuff is just great. I'll just let him tell you. Conrad, I should just introduce him.
Yes.
I'm way too excited to have him here. That's why I'm like, I don't think my intro could do him justice. So I'm just going to get right to the point. Nathan Demming is my next guest. He is a director originally from Wisconsin, making his home in LA now, and he joins us here on Nightlight. Hey, Nathan.
Hi, Pete. How's it going?
Going very well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm about to hop on a train to the Dairy State, so I'm excited.
You're hopping on a train from Los Angeles?
From LA. I don't like flying that much, so I'm very familiar with the Southwest Chief. That's the line that goes all the way from LA to Chicago. But I'm excited,
dude. I am excited for you. That is really cool. Like I travel Amtrak whenever I can. It's usually not that convenient, but whenever I can, honestly, I do. And I'm envious of you. I've never, even when I lived in LA, I never did that Chicago to LA trip. How long does that take?
It takes 3 days. So I leave tonight and I'll arrive in Chicago on Wednesday. And then I got to take a bus from Chicago to Madison. And I know every inch of this rail track now, but it's very beautiful. It's like, you know, you go through New Mexico, Colorado. It's
nice. Man. Do you have a sleeping car or do you just recline the seat?
Sleepers are like, they're really expensive.
I know.
And then everybody in the sleeper is like in a good mood and stuff. And everybody else, you know, just we sleep in our chairs 2 nights in a row.
Oh, that's not so bad though. You open your laptop, you do some writing.
Exactly.
How does that compare fare-wise to flying?
Oh, it's about the same price as a flight. I mean, unless you get like a really cheap flight, you know.
Yeah.
The train tickets don't change, but yeah, it's like roughly comparable. That's you just cool. lose 3 days of your life. So that's the only thing.
I didn't mean to get too personal. Nathan, how much do you make a year? Okay. So, all right. This is really exciting having you on the show because I interviewed you a couple weeks ago it will air tonight on TV on PBS. You were part of the PBS Wisconsin episode of Director's Cut.
Yeah.
We have a little more time to kick back tonight and talk, which I'm excited about. You made a very interesting appearance on the TV show when we cut to you. You were in LA and we had a monitor and you recorded yourself in an ice shanty or a makeshift ice shanty, shall I say?
Yeah, I told you I was not in LA. I was out on the ice, you know?
Oh yeah, sorry. Spoiler alert. That was really funny, by the way. Okay, so
the funny thing is with like, I don't know if you remember, is like it was like a little bit slow, the filming, right? So like for me, I got called in like 45 minutes ahead of time. So I just sat in my apartment in this fake ice fishing tent for 45 minutes, questioning every decision I've made in my life. So I was happy that you were into it when we started.
Listen, I mean, it was a breath of fresh air. It was great. And it's always good to talk to you, of course, whether it's on TV, on the radio, whatever. Your film that's in the film festival this year is called February. Can you tell us about
February? Those of you keeping track at home, I made a movie called...
Loved it.
I guess my big Uber plan is to make a film inspired by each month of the year, which you've talked to me. We talked a little bit about that on the PBS interview.
Yeah.
And I really just want to switch perspectives and characters and just tell different stories about all kinds of Wisconsinites. So for this one, it's about a recent Mexican immigrant named Miguel. He's just moved to this small town in Wisconsin and he's kind of having a hard time opening up and we don't know everything about him right away, which is kind of part of the story. You know, we learn more about him by the end of the film, like some secrets and stuff. But first half, we're kind of watching his life with his family, and he's just having a hard time fitting in until he finds ice fishing. And then it's through ice fishing that he kind of starts to open up. And that's where he also meets this kind of unusual and crazy ice fisherman named Carl, who's played by a non-actor named Richie Gordon, who answered a Craigslist ad I put up, and he was just awesome. He ended up killing it. So that was a fun part of the movie.
Oh, that is so cool. Really? So did you have to coach him or work with him a lot, or did he kind of fall into the role naturally?
Yeah, well, he definitely was. So I put up this Craigslist ad just saying, like, I'm looking for kind of crazy ice fishermen, you know, anybody willing to just try this. And then Richie's wife, Anna, emailed me first and said, this is my husband, LOL. And she sent a picture of him in his ice fishing shanty. And it just felt like, you know, like the whole thing came to life. And then I met him and he has aspects of the character. He's also a very sweet, nice guy. And I just like really commended him because this is not something he's used to. And yeah, he just threw himself into it and was totally open to any coaching, I guess so you could say, or anything we tried to do to get the shot.
Yeah. Did he get the bug now? Is he moving to LA or is he trying to get a set?
I don't know. I'll ask him or you can ask him. He's going to be at the festival.
Perfect.
At our screening. Yeah. So
this is interesting. When I shot a film several years ago, up in Marinette, there were people in the town that we cast, because that's what you do. You bring your big actors in and you cast a lot of the smaller parts locally.
Totally.
This guy was a local welder and he got into it so much. He pulls me aside one day on the set and he says, "Pete, I'm begging you for a line in this. I really want to get my SAG card." And I'm like, he's like just became a welder like a year ago. It's like one union at a time, buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
But he knew what it meant. He was like, he was really into it. It was really fun.
That's funny. Is that Godfather of Green Bay?
Yeah. Yeah. That was
nice.
More than several years ago now. so where did you get this idea? This is like, You're doing it a month. You're doing a film per month, or that's your plan. Where did the idea for February come from? And did it have anything to do with the actual month of February when you came up with the story?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely want them to be inspired. I mean, I have like larger ideas. I would love to kind of like work into these films because I think there's a lot of ideas I have that wouldn't necessarily fit a traditional like film structure. So it's really fun to have this like conceit of months. And so we can like look at different people and the way that our environment affects us and also the weather, I guess, and right. stuff like that. And so February, I definitely was inspired by the month. I have very, very strong memories of February throughout, you know, my childhood in Wisconsin. And I remember one time in high school, I think we didn't see the sun for the entire month.
Oh, that's horrible.
It's just like overcast gray skies. I wanted to get as far away as possible from the main character of January, who, if you remember, was like a 75-year-old church volunteer.
Church lady, yeah.
So I just wanted to tell like a completely different story with maybe somebody who gets ignored a little bit in a small town in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I love that it's an immigrant story set in a place you don't typically see those stories, northern Wisconsin. And learning how to ice fish, I don't think people would associate a character with that. But we're all just people, and you're a product of your environment, right?
Totally, yeah. And that's what that was also really exciting to me. Like half the film's in Spanish, and I thought it was really exciting to see like a Wisconsin movie, you know, in another language. And of course, many languages are spoken in Wisconsin now and have been since, you know.
Right.
As long as it's been around, but I thought that was really fun to kind of shake things up and see something that you don't normally see.
Absolutely. Do you ice fish?
So I was going to say my big regret of our PBS interview is I didn't get to tell you. I know what these things are now. Cause you were like, you called the auger a doohickey or something. So yeah, I know some words. I got really into ice fishing before we were making it. And do you know what a tip-up is, Pete?
Is that the, like, the bobber?
That's the little, like, flag contraption. So you can just drill a bunch of holes. That was actually something I didn't understand about ice fishing that we actually kind of get wrong in the movie. But, like, Richie showed me, the guy who plays Carl. Real ice fishermen, like, it seems like what they do is they just drill, like, 12 holes. And then they just put these tip-ups down. So it's not like they're just sitting there with one hole, you know.
Oh, really?
All night, but dramatically, I was like, it's more interesting. Just, you
know. If you have time to kill and you're talking.
Yeah.
My guest is Nathan Deming. His film is February and it premieres. What kind of a premiere are we looking at in Wisconsin here, Nathan? Is it worldwide, Wisconsin?
Oh, this is galactic.
Galactic. Wow. Nice.
Galactic, Universal. Nobody's seen this coming out. Yeah.
Where? Yeah, world premiere. What time is your screening, and where? What venue are you at this year?
We are at the Marquee at Union South, and I believe it's at 2 p.m. April 7th. And we were one of the recipients of a Golden Badger Award this year, so that was really exciting.
That's right.
And I think we're collecting that on Thursday as well, at like a little ceremony. So that'll be fun.
That will be nice. You know. The last few years, I've been the one presenting those. This year, I won't be able to do it, but I will be there.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's as close as I've gotten to an actual Golden Badger is to hand them out to other filmmakers, which was a thrill. But that'll be fun. Opening night there is really fun. And I know that I think it's at the Barrymore this year. That's a great venue. You're going to have a blast. So those of you listening, if you are in the Madison area, check out the Wisconsin Film Festival. It goes from April 4th to the 11th, Nathan's film is called February. It's part of a block of films. It's a short film. It will play at Marquee Union South at 2 p.m. on April 7th. That's Sunday, I believe, correct?
Yeah, Sunday.
Yeah, and it's such a fun time. Now, you were there, yes, okay, so I saw January there, then you were there several years ago with Dog Days, which I really enjoyed. So this is your third trip to the Wisconsin Film Festival, correct?
Yeah, and I almost had my feature go there too, and it was a real bummer because we got into another festival and we basically had to like, you know, do
the choose
silly choosing thing, which I still go back and forth on whether I made the right decision. But Hey, I was listening to the show earlier today. Am I going to get an opportunity to talk recent movies with you?
Yes.
Like stuff. What are you watching?
Well, we'll do that. I have other questions for you. And then typically almost everybody I ask if I have time, what they're watching, I will definitely cover that with you. But I want to ask you, so like, what gave you the idea to make a film for every month of the year? That's gotta be so overwhelming.
Well, I have a couple, like, you know, I did my feature a couple of years ago, and I've been working on another couple projects since then, trying to get the next feature up and running soon, hopefully. And in the meantime, I'm always kind of like, got a lot of stories I want to tell about Wisconsin, starting with January, where I just really wanted to tell that about the Methodist church world I was raised in. And I was really excited to make that and just kind of get it out of my system. And I was thinking more, I'm kind of inspired by, I don't know if you're aware of this indie musician, Sufjan Stevens. He promised to make an album for every state, and Michigan, and then he did Illinois, and then he stopped. that's fine. But like the concept of it, I think there's a lot of artists who've done stuff like that I really like. I think it kind of frees you up to kind of do whatever you want, and then like, the audience can bring a lot of like of their own storytelling to it, right? Because everybody has their own relationship with the rhythms of the year and what each month means. And so I think the idea would be I could do this around the rest of my career. You know, I could always come back. It might
take
10, 15 years, but it'd be really fun if it turned into something special. And like, hopefully each project, like February is a little bit bigger than January. Hopefully March will be a little bit bigger. And
very cool. All right. When we come back, I'm going to ask Nathan about LA versus Wisconsin. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. I am Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night. The Wisconsin Film Festival starts this week, April 4th, Thursday night. The opening night festivities are at the Barrymore Theater in Madison. It's a great time. If you haven't checked it out yet, I highly recommend it. My guest right now is Nathan Deming. He's a filmmaker who has a film playing in this year's festival called February. It plays at the Marquee Union South at 2 p.m. on April 7th. It's part of a block of films. And the Wisconsin Film Festival always has a great... You know what I love, Nathan, about this festival is the guys who run it are tried and true, absolute film buffs. Like, they really know their stuff. And I'm always amazed at the lineup they put together. You know, so... And I love that they love your work, too, because I'm a big fan, too. I should do a disclaimer here and say that you mentioned your feature film before we went to break, and I was in your feature film. I got to play a mega church founder, and that was really fun.
Dan the man, Fogelman. That was your character.
That was fun. Where can people see that somewhere right now, speaking in tongues?
Yes, it's on Amazon, it's on YouTube, it's on, it's on Tubi, you know?
I guess
it's on a couple different streaming platforms right now.
You know what? Tubi's your best bet. When I found out The Godfather of Green Bay was on Tubi, I'm like, now I can send people somewhere and they might actually watch it because it doesn't cost anything. So it's great.
Yeah, it's not like $15 or something.
So I wanted to ask you, you live in LA. You seem to do a lot of shooting here in Wisconsin, though. What is it about? Do you get homesick, or is there something cinematic you see about Wisconsin when you're away from it? How does that work with you as a writer?
That's a good question. Well, yeah, I mean, the other stuff I've written, I've definitely written stuff outside of Wisconsin, but there's something very special to me about the projects I do there. And especially this last one, filming outside in the winter, there's just, you can't really go wrong. It's so beautiful. Obviously, there's like some difficulties, like it's cold, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's stressful. A lot of the crew ended up being from California or different places around the world, and they weren't really used to winter. But, man, I think everybody, it was really special, though, and it creates this, like, fun. And, you know, you just, like, you're shooting until, you know, you just can't shoot anymore, and then you run back to your home base, wherever you're staying, and like, you know, coffee, hot cocoa, you know, like all these things are so special and nice. And like, just everywhere you point your camera, you know, usually like these beautiful winter sunsets, which we got one or two of those in the film.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard not to film there. It's just so pretty.
Do you like LA?
I do love LA as well.
Yeah. That's how I was. I was homesick at times, but I really did like living there. It's an invigorating place when you're in this industry, you know.
Where did you live in LA?
The Studio City, actually technically Valley Village. We were right between like North Hollywood and Studio City.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, where are you?
I'm technically in Filipino Town, which is like right under Silver Lake. Been here like
I had a lot of friends in Silver Lake.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's great. So I want to ask you, okay, so you did this feature film, you had a micro budget. I was kind of in awe the way you guys were working and how fast you were turning things over. And tell people what a challenge that is. And what's the biggest challenge when you don't have any money and you're making a feature film? Like, everybody makes shorts on no money, but you made this feature film. It was impressive what you did and the value you got out of it.
Totally. I think maybe the feature in February had a similar budget by the end. Because February we definitely had a larger crew and we kind of did things more, you know, kind of the normal way they're done. And of course you want to do things the normal way they're done, but
yeah,
I feel like if your choice is between not doing it, you know, and doing it, I'll always choose doing it. And yeah. Well, that one, I was just really lucky. I was just fresh out of film school, and I had four friends from film school who were also passionate about just doing anything we could, and they were super nice. So they just gave everything to me for a couple months. I think you remember. There was about four people in that crew, right?
It's crazy, yeah. It was impressive, though.
I think it like helped too, like the style of that film is a bit more like, you know, documentary, like the look of it, you know? So, you know, we could do handheld stuff and like, you know, it wasn't like we were moving around a crane or something.
Yeah.
Like
right.
That, you know, but
I was impressed how you, and my son has done this with some short films too.
Yeah.
The way you can work with regular people. 'Cause some of the people in Speaking in Tongues you found, they weren't really actors before you found them and you kind of molded them into actors. That's an incredible talent. So tip of my hat for that. So let's talk about, we have a couple minutes left. What are you watching? What is, when you're done hustling and getting films made, what does Nathan Demming sit down to watch at the end of the day?
Well, I should name drop that this series is, I mentioned Sufjan, he's a musician. It's not really a direct inspiration for my series, but the filmmaker Mike Lee is a really big inspiration.
Oh, yeah.
Secrets and Lies, Vera Drake, Naked. This one's kind of very similar in tone to Life is Sweet, if you've seen any of those. And I absolutely love him. He was ahead of my film school when I went there. And so, yeah, those are kind of the movies I draw from. But lately, Pete, I got to tell you, I'm on the Dune train.
Okay.
I'm a recent convert. I like was not interested. My friend Zaya, who I think you know, you've met him to the film festival too.
Yeah.
Dragged me to Dune 2. And now I've seen it three times. And,
oh my gosh.
Have you seen it?
That's 9 hours of your life. That's like one fifth of your train ride.
I have seen it.
Yeah. And same thing. My son made me watch the first Dune, which I was like, okay. The second one was great. It was incredibly cinematic. The music, the sound, the way it looked, it was beautiful. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, that was probably the one I liked the most recently in the cinema. I've been trying to go every week and catch new stuff because that's usually my fault. Is like I like watch a lot of older movies and then forget to catch up. Did you see Drive Away Dolls, the new Coen brothers? Coen brother.
Brother, movie? Yeah. Half of them. No, I did not see that yet. It was at our theater for like a week, but that is on my list too. Nathan, I wish we had more time. You'll have to come back because this is really fun. It's great talking to you.
Yeah,
on
it was
radio.
Fun. Yeah, and, thanks so much for having me on.
I will see you in Madison, and I wish you luck at your screening. I'm sure it's going to go over great, and keep making great movies, buddy.
Thanks, Pete. Talk to you soon.
You got it. Thanks. That's Nathan Demming. You can see his film February at the Marquee Union South, April 7th at 2 p.m. at the Wisconsin Film Festival. That's on Sunday. And check that out. Thank you to Stacey Ryan for being on the show. Thank you for all of your calls and texts tonight. And thanks to Nathan Demming. So great spending time with you on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. We'll be back tomorrow with more Nightlight. Good night, Wisconsin. I'll take you to your best friend's house, Mama.